I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread hope and encouragement to people around the world through his broadcasts. We are thrilled to continue sharing those messages of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Every day we read such encouraging notes and letters. Thank you all for your kind words. A recent website comment reads, "I want to express my deep gratitude for the uplifting and inspiring ministry you provide across the world. Pastor Salem's faithful proclamation of the gospel has been a true blessing in my life. May this donation help further your outreach and bring hope to many. Thank you for your dedication and service in sharing God's word." Today, Dad's message, "Joseph, Rich Man from Arimathea," reveals the actions and lessons from Joseph, a secret disciple and believer. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to have a sermon today that I think you'll enjoy. It's about Joseph of Arimathea. Now, what do you know about Joseph of Arimathea? Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. He was a secret disciple. And that's not the best thing to do. So I'm wondering if we have any other secret disciples. I wonder if I'm a secret disciple. So call your friends, tell them, we're going to hear about Joseph of Arimathea and see what happened to this fellow. And so in the meantime, we're going to look at Psalm 105 and the opening verses. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we rejoice when we read about you, about your great power and might that you created all things. And by your power, all things consist and you hold them all together. And not only do you have power, but you have wisdom, but the best of all, you have love. And the main attribute known of you, dear God, is that God is love, and you love us even in our sins, and you're not for a willing, you don't want us to die in our sins, you want us to come to Jesus. And I'm praying that in this service today, multitudes all over the world will come to Jesus, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan's going to sing a song, "Joyful Sound," and God bless you, Jan.
Jesus saves.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Jan. That's what it's all about. That's why we have the Christian Worship Hour, because Jesus saves and we're sending the light, the message all over the world, and we're doing the best we can. And it isn't too fancy, because I know we're just everyday people that love the Lord and we're telling the world about Jesus. And you've got to have Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's what Jesus said. You have to have Jesus in your heart. And you say, how on earth you get Jesus in my heart? Let me tell you right now, before we go another step, you just pray and you just talk to Jesus. And you say, I don't know how to pray. Well, then just talk to Jesus. He's a friend. He loves you. He's a Savior. And just talk to him and say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take my sins away. And I'll turn from them the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. And you can tell him that you love him. He is so wonderful. And I did that 87 years ago. You say, my, are you 87? Yeah, I'm 87. I'm 97. And I would have been 98, but I was sick one year. So that's where I'm at. And the Lord has never failed me once. Now, if you say, oh, did you live a perfect life? Oh, you know, we laugh at that. But I know one thing. I accepted Jesus, and I'm trying to serve him. When I fail him, I ask him to forgive me. When I sin, I ask him to forgive me. In my old age with my gray hair and all, there are times I have thoughts and things that shouldn't be there. I ask him to forgive me. See, I never lose my salvation, but just I ask him to forgive me so that we have all clear channels between me and the Lord. That's what the gospel, that's what the Christian Worship Hour is all about. And if you want to write to us sometime, you can do that. We'll give you the address in a little bit. But one thing about the Christian Worship Hour, we get a lot of letters. We get about 100 letters a day. And the ones that have letters, messages in them, we read every message. And if you have questions, we try to answer them. If you're accepting the Lord, we send you literature to help you in that. And so all these letters. And so then we read these letters, and it kind of, so you'll know what people are thinking. And people just, I get more people, I think, that like the letters than they do the sermons. And that's disgusting. But we're still going to read some of these letters. But we're not going to take our sermon time either. So, you know, Mother taught me how to share. So that's what we're going to do. So let me give you some of these letters. Here's one's from Bixby, Oklahoma. And she says, what a beautiful, complete, and simple explanation of the gospel. How did we get to the point of such nonsense preached from the pulpit today? My heart breaks. Thank you, Pastor, and everyone at the Christian Worship Hour for standing strong and preaching the word. I just found your program 2 months ago. It was giving me new hope. I'm so thankful to be able to sow my seed into good ground, love in Christ. And so she's saying here there's going to be some bad preaching. They're not going to be true to the word. That's what we're talking about. And well, Jesus told us that God told us that in the Bible. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 2 to 4, this is what he said. He tells Timothy, preach the word. Timothy's a young pastor just starting out. And he says, preach the word. And I wish every pastor would do that. Preach the word. Preach the Bible. That's what the word of God. Preach the word of God. And it's in season and out of season. Preach it. And that's where the power is. And when you preach with the Bible, you can preach with authority. You can get up and say, well, I hope so, or it might be so, or it might be this, or it might be that. You can just say, thus saith the Lord, period. That's it. No discussion. Nothing to discuss. This is what God says. Preach with authority. And so that's what we're trying to do. And of course, we don't do all the best preaching. And I'm a lot like Dwight L. Moody. And Moody preached a sermon one day, and a lady came up after him words, and she says, Mr. Moody, you made 3 grammatical errors in your sermon today. When I'm done, you can have a whole list. But in all that commotion, there's the Word of God. See, that's where the power is. Not my mistakes, but in the Word of God. I love to preach. I'm going to preach as long as I can. Whether people like it or not, they're going to get it. Well, here's Springfield, Missouri. I've asked Christ Jesus to be my Savior, but feel very ashamed because I still struggle with the flesh. Thank God for your services and the sermons you serve us all with. Please pray for me and my salvation. I have trouble praying the right words, but the Lord knows my heart, your brother. And so here he is, and he's having a battle. And it's the flesh and the spirit. Now, this is what happens. When we accept Jesus, and we're all in the same boat, all Christians are in the same boat. When we accept Jesus, we have that old Adamic nature, that old nature that wants to sin and wants us to go against God, see? And when we accept Jesus, he gives us a new nature. He says that all things, he says, you're born again, you get all things become new, see? And you have a new nature. But the bad thing is you still have the old nature. So in this body, you have the old nature and the new nature. And that's why you're tempted to do wrong. You want to do right, but you do wrong. See, that's what he's talking about here, about how this is spirit against the flesh. Well, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul spells it out exactly. He says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to another, so you cannot do the things that you would. So here's a guy, and here's a young man in here. I don't know if he's young, but anyway, he's wanting to serve the Lord, and then he does some bad things, has some thoughts or something. I don't know what it is. See, we're all in the same boat, and so those two natures are struggling. That's why you want to feed the spirit, read the Bible, go to church, get into Bible studies, listen to Christian music, feed the spiritual side, and cut out the old side, the flesh, anything that's rotten or, that doesn't look right or sound right or smell like, leave it alone, see? And then you feed the spirit and you starve the other one. I remember an old man. He said, I've been walking with the Lord all many, many years. And he says, I have those two natures. And they're just like two dogs. And one is a white dog and one is a black dog. And they're always fighting with each other. And then this young man says, well, which dog wins? And he says, the dog that I say sick 'em to. See? And so you say sick 'em to the Holy Spirit, to the spiritual things. And get your Bible every day. Read that Bible. See, that's the struggle. And you're going to have it till you get to the end of the road. And when you meet the Lord and we get to heaven, that'll all be done. So that's just very normal to have this battle. Fremont, Nebraska, thank you so much for your ministry. We've been watching you for almost 30 years. My mother and two sisters also watch. We were brought together even though we were in four different states. My mother and baby sister have gone home to be with the Lord, but my older sister and I still watch. Brings us closer to our loved ones. That's the beauty of the Christian faith. That's the beauty of the Christian faith. And you see that faith, here it is. Part of the body of Christ is on earth and part of the body of Christ is in heaven. Here she writes, see her mother and her baby sister. They're part of the body of Christ. They're part of the family of God and they're in heaven. And so we're here on earth. She's on earth and she's here on earth, but she's a part of the body of Christ or this family of God, this wonderful family of God. And that's the way it'll be until time is no more. And then time ends and we'll all be in eternity. We'll be with God. And then we're told something's going to happen is God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. This is Revelation 21, verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Former things have passed away. So that's yet to come. And here's this mother and this younger sister. They're over there now with the Lord. They're in that place. Now I'm going to be there one of these days, and you are too, if you know the Lord. But you have to have Jesus, because the way to heaven is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You have to have Jesus. And you say, well, how do I have Jesus? Well, you have Jesus by asking him into your heart. That's all. And he'll come into your heart. Wants to come, waiting to come, standing at your door's heart now, asking so. Just ask him in. Here's Silver Bay, Wisconsin, or Silver Bay, Minnesota. Last night, we watched the film again. Now, they're talking about The Heart of a Shepherd. And that's a one-hour film that we just put out. And it's what talks about the way of salvation, coming to Jesus. And it's put in language and it's written in such a way that the children can understand. So they're talking about this film. Last night, we watched the film again. We have two Baptist churches here. Hopefully, they will plan together for a larger outreach. My sister and daughter need to see the film. So that is 8 more films. So now this person is writing for 8 more films. And we send this film out, it's an hour long, on a free will offering basis. Now she wants 8, and she's going to use them to give to people to listen to it. She can send whatever she can, and we'll send her the 8 films. Because what we want them to do is to see this story, The Heart of a Shepherd. And by seeing that, maybe we'll open their heart to Jesus. That's what it's all about. And you say, well, won't you run out of money? Well, I don't think so. And we're in our 40th year and we haven't run out of money yet, because people see that and they say, oh, well, I've got plenty of money here, and I'll send a gift just to help pay for that postage. So we get enough, and so the way we go. But if we go broke, well, we'll go broke happy doing the Lord's work. So it's all up to the Lord. All up to the Lord and the Lord's people. And then let me see. Here's another one. Elkhart, Indiana. I am happy that my daughter will be able to get your hour on the internet. I'm almost 90 years old and would not know how, but she is moving me to Tennessee this October. Since my husband died in February, she's afraid I might fall, so she's moving me to her home. I was so afraid I'd not be able to see your program then, but now I can, and I am very happy. So she's in Indiana. She's 90 years old, and she has a caring daughter. She's going to move her down and help take care of her mom. Isn't that beautiful? That's the way it should be. But it isn't so many times. That's just a beautiful daughter taking care of her mother. And her mother's worrying, can I get to see the Christian Worship Hour? I'm in Indiana. Well, I wonder, are they going to be down here in this other town? I don't know if she said where it was or not. Yeah, in Tennessee. Sure enough, we're all over the United States. We're all over the world. And on the internet also. And then on shortwave radio, we cover 90% of the world's population. So then God has just blessed us and helped us so we can send the good news. And yes, you can get the message. And so she says she's happy, and so we're happy too. And won't that be happy when we get to heaven and see each other and rejoice together? But you can't get to heaven till you're born again, till you accept Jesus. Here's Dudley, Maine. I enjoy your program very much and get so very much from it. I am so closer to Jesus more now than ever in my 75 years. Praise the Lord. If you have any free literature, would you kindly send it to me? And so we are sending them some information. And here's what we have. We have a little Bible study. We send it out every month. It's called The New Song. The New Song. Get your pencil and paper. I'll give you the address in just a minute. And it's a little different Bible study every month. And so this month is going to be, I Will Be With Thee. And it's how that Jesus will always be there, never leave us or forsake us. And it's a good little Bible study. And then also you can get the new song. That's what it's called, the new song. And or you can get this little film that we have. And then I have one more letter from Chamberlain, South Dakota. Oh, look at here. I have never gone to sleep during one of your messages except once, when I had to work all night. That is a young man. Well, God bless him. if he's only gone to sleep once in my services, I'm going to send him a medal or something, because I can put him to sleep faster than you ever imagined. And you know, I've been preaching now. I'm on my 75th year, 75th year preaching. And people say, well, I would think you could do better than that at 75 years, after 75 years. And I said, oh, you should have heard me when I started out. I made a lot of headway. But anyway, it doesn't matter. You know, just have the Word of God. Give the Word of God as simple and plain as you can. And God will take that word and he'll apply it to hearts and bring people to the Lord. So this young man, here he is. He'd gone to sleep. He had to work all night. And that's a perfectly legitimate. I would have done the same thing. So if you'd like to help us and want to send a gift, or if you want the film or you want the Bible study, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you can write to us, or if you want to get us, you can get us on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And when you write, maybe you want to help us in the work, because our only source of income is from God's people. We're not underwritten by any denomination or organization or corporation. We're just God's people. And for 40 years now, God has never let us down. We've expanded until we're all over the world, foreign and domestic. And we thank God for that. And so if you'd like to help us, then you can send it to the Christian Worship Hour. And then the box is 2002. I'm giving it again because our shortwave radio people need to get it. And this Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you would like to have the Bible study, just put new song. Every month, it's a different Bible study. And if you'd like the film, Heart of a Shepherd, and you want to give some out, you can send whatever you can. And we'll just honor that, and I know God will provide. So you can write to us. And one other thing, I want you all to remember that we're a member of a national organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books, every penny we take in and every penny we spend, and it's all above board. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you pay as God lays it on your heart, and we'll be just fine. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. Goodness sake, I almost jumped up and said hallelujah. Wrecked the whole service, but that's beautiful. I don't know, I couldn't get along without Jan. We're reading from Mark chapter 15, and this is the story of Joseph of Arimathea. And if you have your Bibles, start with the 42nd verse. And then we have a prayer. And in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church somewhere. And this time, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Tanzania. So maybe some of them are getting us. They can get us on, I'm sure they can get us on shortwave and maybe on television. But they need to know we're praying for them and we admire them for their stand. God bless them. All right, Mark 15, verse 42. And now when the even was come, now Jesus has just been crucified. And now when the even was come, because it was a preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if there were already dead. And calling upon him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. And so, Heavenly Father, our heart just aches when we read this story of the crucifixion and how you suffered for us. You suffered for me, a poor lost sinner out there in the boondocks, and now didn't know up from down, and yet you loved me and saved me, just as a child, 10 years old. And you prayed and you saved that great, mighty, powerful Saul of Tarsus, who put people to death, Lord, and persecuted the church, and you forgave all his sins. And so we just thank you for going to the cross. And want to thank you for Joseph of Arimathea, Lord. Thank you that he did come out of the shadows. He didn't say too much about the Christian life. But now he stands true and goes and takes the body, asks for the body of the Lord and gives it burial. And out of his life, help us to be strengthened in the Christian life. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Tanzania today. And I just, Lord, help them to know that we are encouraged by their life, that their living helps us to live our life here, and we don't face anything like they do. And help them to know that they're going to receive the martyr's crown and that they're a great witness for you around the world. Give them grace and strength. I know you will, Lord. And someday we'll get to meet these dear brothers and sisters, and won't that be something? So bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. And before the message, Hank's going to sing for us, Peace in the Storm, and God bless you, Hank.
Peace in the shelter.
Love that.
When the cares of life seem more than I can handle, and clouds of doubt have settled in my soul, when everywhere I turn the storm is raging, into the Savior's loving arms I go. There is peace in the shelter of his arms, a refuge from the storm, where I am safe from harm. Through the strongest winds and pouring rain, there's peace in the shelter of his arms. Been a moment on this journey that I have been forsaken or alone. 'Cause every time I face the unexpected, our Father gently leads through the unknown. There is peace in the shelter of winds and cold.
Thank you, Hank, and what a wonderful message. And while Hank was singing that, I was thinking, I'll bet you there are people that are shut-ins. There are people, maybe young people, that don't know which way to turn. They're in the middle of a storm. They're having awful temptations and trials. There may be children, Lord, and they don't know what to do or what to think with this kind of a world, and they can come to Jesus. And Jesus is a refuge, a strength, a kind of, like the psalmist says, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And you can go to Jesus and the storm can't touch you, can't hurt you. You know, when I was a young man, my brother and I used to cut timber way up in the hills. And sometimes we'd be out cutting timber, and a storm would come up, and sometimes a hailstorm would come up. There was no way for us to get back to our vehicle or our shelter. And so what we'd do if it looked a little stormy, we'd look for a cave. And then we'd locate that cave. And then if the storm came, we'd sit in that cave. And I remember sitting in a cave and seeing those hailstones bounce right in front of me, but they couldn't touch me. And I thought of that so many times. Jesus is that shelter. The Lord is my refuge and strength, I shall not fear. And though the mountains be removed around me, David said, I never fear. Jesus, what a beautiful Savior. And that's what we're talking about, and we're asking you to open your heart to Jesus. If you haven't done that, and just ask him to come into your heart, take away your sins, and he'll make you his child, and you'll have that refuge all your life. I'm 97 years old. I've gone to that refuge a lot of times, and he's always been there. Well, we get so many nice letters, and I want to share some of them today. I want to thank you for sending those letters today, because it helps us to know when we preach what we can do to help and to get people to encourage them and to strengthen them, and to where are they at and what do they face. And so we just thank you for giving us the opportunity to preach this wonderful message. And so I'm preaching a message today by Joseph of Arimathea. And Joseph, he was a Christian man. He was a believer, but he was a secret believer. He came out a little bit, but not very much. He didn't really step out until he came to the crucifixion and Jesus' body was on the cross, and the preparation day, the Sabbath day, was coming on, and he wanted to bury that body before sundown. And he went to Pilate and he begged for the body of Christ, of Jesus, and he took that body and gave it burial. So now we're going to look at him today. He comes on the scene in a very dark day in the life of the church, because Jesus has been crucified and Jesus is dead. And like Jesus said, he warned them, he says, all the disciples forsook him and fled. And Jesus says in another time, he says, ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And those were the sad words of Jesus, and they had come true. And now he is there on the cross. His enemies hoped that that was the end of him, and his friends feared that that was the end of him. And it is true that a few loyal women remained at the cross, but then what could they do to obtain his body from that great, mighty Pilate? And so they have to go in despair and go weeping and leave that scene. They all feared that the body of the one they loved probably would be taken and thrown into the first open grave that they would find. So today, something happened. And so today, God has someone, someplace in the slums, in the back streets, in the palace or in the villages. He has somebody that's going to step forward and take a hand and help in the cause of Christ. And that's what he had with Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea hadn't been on the scene, but behind the scenes, he loved Jesus. And Joseph of Arimathea steps forward at a very moment of crisis when there was no way to turn and no way to take that body down. Joseph of Arimathea comes forward. Now let's look at him and take a warning. First of all, he was a disciple of Jesus, but it was secretly. And it was why was he secretly a follower of the Lord? And it's just because for fear of the Jews. It wasn't popular to be a Christian then. And that's why the disciples had to meet in closed doors, behind closed doors, and had to meet in rooms and hiding because there was great persecution against the Christian faith, against the church. And so that Joseph of Arimathea kind of hid this place and stayed. And I want to urge you, friends, reconsider your life. Don't follow Joseph of Arimathea in being a secret service. God doesn't need you in the secret service, and because he needs you to stand out and stand strong for him. And so at this very moment then, when Jesus is on the cross, and what's going to happen to that body? Joseph of Arimathea, he came from Arimathea. We don't know anything about it. It's a little village, but we don't know a thing about it. But he comes forth. He steps forward. And he was the very man that needed for the occasion. He was because he was a man of influence and a man of power. He just wasn't some peasant somewhere. He was a special man. He was a rich man. Joseph was a rich man. That speaks for something. He was a counselor. Joseph was a member of the Sanhedrin. That's like the Jewish Supreme Court. And he was a member of that, so he was a very high stature. He was a man of weight and a man of character. And he was a man that Pilate would know about, that's for sure. And every evangelist, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all tell us about how that he was a good man and a just, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. But Joseph had been retiring, probably cowardly before, but now he comes to the cross and he shows matter where matters stand and he sees what the problem is. And so he makes his stand and goes to Pilate. And that's in the ministry that's going to be. There may not be what we should be. Maybe we have kind of secretive in our teachings. Maybe there are times when we need to stand for the Christian and let people know it. But we just don't say too much. But always remember this, God will never be without a faithful few. He's always going to have some. Things may decline and things will become worse, Jesus said. And he says, when he comes again, will he find faith on the earth? And yes, he will, because God is going to always have his witness. Here he has his witness, Joseph of Arimathea, steps forward in a special time. And here's Joseph of Nazareth, and he steps forward to take care and be watching over the Lord Jesus, the little child. And here's this Joseph, who down in Egypt goes early, becomes a pharaoh, one of the key men in the world, so that he can provide for the people of God. God always has that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, that young person. He has that person. And so we need to be stand out for the Lord. Don't be timid. And in this sermon, we're praying that it'll encourage you to step out and step forward. And don't be afraid to stand out for the Lord. We sing that song, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? And then the last comes, sure I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by the Lord, by thy word and the Lord. And so that's what we have to face. And I think of that persecuted church all the time. It just seems like, and I think if I had my ministry to do over, I'd go and try and help to do something to help the children. Some of them have no parents. Some have one parent. Then some don't have a home. Some, their church is torn and burned down. And an awful thing they are. But all of the time, somebody will stand up just at the right time. And there are people that go there and work, and they come in to help and take care of those people. And so you wonder why Joseph didn't step out and help the Lord and go for a witness for the Lord. And some people say, well, he was a rich man, and maybe he kept for his riches, and he didn't want to have the Jews take that riches away from him. So riches kept him apart. And you know, Jesus talked about that. He warned about it. He said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Riches do not strengthen the heart, nor they make men daring for the cause of Christ too many times. Riches have great talent, and they may be well used by people for the right thing. But if this man isn't right with God or really close to God, those riches are going to affect him in an adverse place. But if he's open for Christ and he's standing for Christ like the people in the persecuted church, riches have nothing to do with it. They're given entirely toward the Lord. You see, Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. And when you think about his disciples, here you are, the Galilean fishermen. They were fishermen, but they had nothing. They were just making their living by catching a few fish, and they didn't have much of this world's goods. But Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. And maybe those riches got in his way. I don't know. But I do know the story of the rich young man, the rich young ruler. And he came to Jesus, and he wanted to be what it cost to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, sell all that you have, give to the poor and follow me. And what do we read about the rich man? He went away very sorrowful because he had great riches. And I'm going to tell you this, friends, if Jesus calls you and you don't respond and you go your own way, you're going to be sorrowful. You can never make the right decision when you leave out Jesus. Every decision we make ought to be thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And riches may be one thing that drags them down. I read about some people, people on a ship, and they struck some rocks and the ship was going down. And some of them took their gold, they had a lot of gold, and they strapped it to their waist. And when they stepped out into the water, they took to the bottom and drowned. They had those riches. And there is something about money that can really take us away, can really hurt our feelings and break our thoughts. The love of money, and it says the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. That's not it, because money can be wonderful. And like R.G. Letourneau gave 90% of his income. We have people who give generously, that carries on the Christian worship hour. And the money isn't wrong, it's the love of money. So keep your eyes on Jesus. I don't know if that's a reason was in Joseph of Arimathea's life or not, but I know that it bothers some people. So Joseph of Arimathea made him unduly cautious. Maybe it did. And Joseph, you know, wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted the prize. But his riches kept him back, and he didn't make it. So he lost many things because he didn't have that love for Jesus, and money made the mark, caused him to fall. So he began to realize that he needed to step out, and something comes to Joseph, and he changes his message now. And now he's not going to be so secretive anymore. As a matter of fact, he's going to walk right into the palace, and he's going to go up to Pilate, and he's going to ask for the body of Jesus. That's unheard of an hour ago or 2 hours ago. He's changing. He's a secret disciple. Now he's going to be wide open, and he's going to move up and stand before the authorities. He's going to be identifying himself as a follower of Jesus Christ, and he even wants that body so they can give it a decent burial. Maybe, I don't know what changed Joseph, but maybe when he saw Jesus Christ on that cross, and maybe when he saw him suffering there, and how the wounds were inflicted, and how they made fun of him, and they laughed at him, and they spit upon him, and they tore out his beard. Maybe he saw Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he had that bloody sweat. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And he did that because he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was going to the cross. And he did that because he was taking the sins of the world. It wasn't that Jesus was a coward and afraid of the cross. As a matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews tells us that who, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus rejoiced that he could go to the cross. That's how much he loved us. He rejoiced that he could give his life for us. Who would ever have done that? But the Son of God did. And so maybe Joseph of Arimathea saw him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. He's taking into his sinless body all the sins of the world for all time, and he's going to carry them to the cross. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was his cry for thirst. Maybe it was giving up the spirit when he heard Jesus say, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Maybe it was when he prayed for those who crucified him. I don't know what it was. But I know this, that the Joseph of Arimathea, when he saw that, he was touched to the heart, he was touched to the soul. And so the secret disciple, why did you quit your hiding place? Why did you step out? And I don't know exactly why, but I know that he did. And I don't know where you stand today as a young person in school, or maybe as a person in some office, or maybe as a shut-in, I don't know. But maybe you're keeping it a secret. You're really not going on record of following Jesus. In your heart, you love Jesus. In your heart, you're trusting Jesus, just like Joseph. But you're not going on record. I remember talking to a man 30 years ago. He's one of the leading businessmen in the city. He dressed just so immaculate as he could. He had accepted Jesus in one of our services, and I'd gone to talk to him. And I asked him, I said, you need to make a stand for the Lord. You need to join the church and let him know you're a follower of Christ. And he wouldn't do it. He wanted to be saved, but he wouldn't do it. And why didn't he do it? Well, maybe he did it because people would say, oh, look at him, look at so-and-so. He's turning sissy, or he's getting weak-kneed. Now, I might hurt some of my business dealings. I don't want to be thinking that I'm, giving into something here. I want Jesus, but I want it kept quiet. That's Joseph of Arimathea, and that was this man. And this man I'm talking about died that way, so far as I know. He never went on record. And I'm talking to you today to be strong, to stand up for Jesus, and to make you stand and let people know, yes, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and I'm proud of it. Like Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. The only thing I'm proud of and I glory in is the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I remember reading about Harry Ironside. He was a little boy, and he accepted Jesus. And his mother says, to her son, she says, "Now, Harry, you tell the boys at school you accepted Jesus." And so that night when he came home, his mother says, "Harry, did you tell the boys you accepted Jesus?" And Ironside says, no, no, I didn't. She says, why didn't you? He says, Mom, if I do, they'll laugh at me. And Harry Ironside said, I never forgot what my mother told me. Mother said, Harry, they can laugh you into hell, but they can't laugh you out. Make your stand for the Lord. Why would you be ashamed of Jesus Christ? What has he done to make you so ashamed of him that you won't go on record? Why do you keep it a secret? Now, I'm not saying you just get up in front of the class, in front of your friends, start preaching. Lord knows we got enough preachers going around. But just tell him what Jesus did, like the blind man was healed. And you just tell him, he is the Son of God. He can't be the Son of God. He says, I don't know if he is or not, but I know one thing. Where I was blind, now I can see. I know that. See, now, when if you talk to people and you don't know theology, you maybe never read the Bible, maybe you don't know much about it. But there's one thing you know. If you open your heart to Jesus, you know he's in your heart and in your life. And they can't take that away from you. So just tell them that it's been such a joy since I gave my life to Jesus. And I'm not worrying about the future. And I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know I'm going to go to heaven. And I know he'll help me and he'll never forsake me. Just tell them what you know. They can't take that from you. So I don't know if your name is Joseph or Pete or John or Harold or whatever. All I know is you need to go on record. Go on record. But the first thing you have to do, you have to have Jesus. You can't talk about something you don't have. You can't share something you don't have, can you? So you have to have Jesus. And to have Jesus, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart, the door of your life. I stand at the door and knock. If any man open that door, I will come in. And I'll fellowship with him. And I'll never leave him or forsake him. But you have to open the door. And so when you think about heaven or hell, you have to have Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Won't go to heaven, but the wrath of God abides on him. Come to Jesus and just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I'm going to forsake them because Jesus taught repentance. He told the woman in adultery, go and sin no more. You need to turn from those sins. That's repentance. And I'm thank you, Jesus, come into my heart. And I'll turn from my sins best I can. And thank you, Jesus. You say that, then let somebody know, go on record. And if you did that, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. Send us a gift if you can. Write us a letter if you can. And then you write to us and we'll send you some literature to get you going. You can get our website, ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can get information there. And then I'm praying that you will tell somebody about that witness. Now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the multitudes that have opened their heart to you. Maybe millions of them, we don't know. And I bless them, Lord. And now I pray for the brothers and sisters in Tanzania that they'll know that we care for them and we're praying. And I know you'll give them special help and strength and you'll be with them in the fire and the flood and you'll see them through and they'll wear the martyr's crown. And won't that be something great? So, dear Jesus, have your way in every heart and life. And those who are in beds of sickness and lonely, bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to thank you now for your gifts and be sure to write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. You pray for us and we'll pray for you. And then by the grace of God, and if God so desires, we'll be back again next week. But what do you think? You think Jesus might come before next week? We have no idea. But if we know Jesus, and if we have him in our heart, doesn't matter when he comes, we just trust Jesus, and he'll take us home safe at last. So God bless you. God loves you. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. God knows that I love you. I have the heart of a shepherd. I do love you. And I'm preaching the best way I knew. If I could do it any better, I'd do it. but I'm limited. I don't do all that so good, but I can tell you the message. And you can call in the name of the Lord, and whosoever will call in the name of the Lord will be saved. So you just do that in your own words, your own way. Just ask Jesus come into your heart. And then next weekend, we'll get together again, Lord willing. And you pray that on our heart of a shepherd, that we'll get that word out. And you help us get that word out so others will come to Jesus. So we just pray that you'll all have a great day, a good week. And next week, we'll see you again. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.